In this lesson, I want to build an entire HTML5 web page from beginning to end. And the purpose of this exercise is to familiarize ourselves with some of the most common HTML5 tags, as well as become familiar with the workflow of formatting an HTML5 document. Now, my focus is going to be giving semantic meaning to the sections of our document by using HTML5 tags. I'm not going to worry about the aesthetics or the beauty of the final result. I'm going to worry about that beginning in the next lesson, okay? So let's go ahead and get started. Like I said in the introduction, I'm simply going to use Windows Notepad and then a version of Internet Explorer that can fully render HTML5 tags. And so that means I need to use 9.0 or greater. If you don't have Internet Explorer 9.0 or greater already installed, please stop the video, take a few moments to update to the latest version of Internet Explorer. Otherwise, you're not going to get the results that you would expect by trying to learn HTML5 in this series of lessons. Okay? So once you get to the end of this lesson, undoubtedly, you're going to have questions. Why did he do that? What does that mean? Okay, that's great. You should have unanswered questions once you finish this lesson. All those questions, I promise, they'll be answered throughout the remainder of this series of lessons. So don't get discouraged. I can't emphasize this enough. At this point in time, I need you to follow along and do exactly what I do in your copy of Windows Notepad. Please do yourself a favor and follow along by actually typing the code. This is easily the best way to learn. Don't cheat yourself. You've already invested the time to watch this video, so get the most from that investment by taking a few moments and making sure you do exactly what I do in your own copy of this web page that we'll be building. Pause, rewind the video if you need to, but make sure that you follow along. All right, and to follow along, what you're going to need to do is download a file called lesson2.zip, or whatever they called it once they uploaded it to Channel 9. Download that file, and you should be able to see that there's a lesson02 file inside of that zip file. And you'll have three subfolders, a before, an after, and then a work folder. And so the thought process is this. I have all of the files you need to begin this lesson here in the before folder. So in this case, I'm going to select all these files and copy them, and then I'm going to paste them in the work folder where I'll do the majority of my messy work, okay? And then at the very end, I'll copy my work out into the after folder so that you can compare the work that you've done with the work that I've done, all right? And you can see how it all goes. So I would encourage you to follow that exact same process throughout the remainder of these lessons as you're following along. One other thing, you'll see in my version of Notepad, I have increased the size of the font significantly for your benefit. If you're streaming this video on Channel 9 and that looks garbled to you, if you cannot read that, this means that you need to download and watch the video locally from your own computer. That streaming is just not going to work for you, possibly due to the speed of your internet connection and the way that Silverlight works, okay? So just wanted to make sure you understand that. Go full screen if you need to in order to see things clearly. So with all of that, we've already copied our work into the work folder. I'm going to double click the before.txt file. And what I've created here are two articles, and I want to keep them on the same web page. I'm going to use this as the basis for the web page that we're going to create. These two articles are helpful because we get to format them, but also because they have some beginning information that every web developer needs to know. Now, I could read this all to you in a camera, which is going to be kind of boring, or you could just read it for yourself as you're working through this example, which I thought would be probably kill two birds with one stone. Also notice that because this is such a long, long, long document, and I've already recorded this video once and realized how long it was, I have gone and added some HTML tags to several different key spots. So we'll be skipping over many of these definitions of paragraphs. This tag defines an opening paragraph tag and a closing paragraph tag. We'll talk about that more a little bit later, but I just wanted to point out to you that I've already done some pre-formatting of this article for you just to save a little time, okay? And then if you scroll down, scroll down, scroll down, scroll down, you'll see a bunch of double lines. I used equal signs, and this is where one article ends and the other article begins, and we'll chop this out at some point during this video. Okay? So here we go. We're going to open this up. I'm going to select it all by hitting Control A on my keyboard and then Control C to copy to the clipboard. I'm going to open up a second copy of Notepad and I'm going to paste it in. This time what I'm going to do is click File, Save As in the new file, and I'm going to navigate to my Lesson 02 folder, the work folder. Okay, I'm going to change the Save As type from text documents to all files. I'm going to change the encoding from ANSI to UTF-8, and I'll discuss UTF-8 very briefly in Lesson 4. Just follow along for now. And then I'm going to type in Lesson 02, no spaces, .html, and then click the Save button. And now to verify that I did this correctly, I'm going to go back to Windows Explorer, look at my work folder, and I should see this Lesson 02.html page. You can see it has an Internet Explorer logo if that indeed is set to be your default browser. Great. Okay, so we're on our way. If we were to try to open this up, you can see that since I've added some formatting, we get some paragraph distinctions here, but there's very little formatting involved, and now we're going to set our minds to adding the rest of the HTML5 required to make this a real, real web page. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started at the very top of the page. I'm going to use angle brackets. The angle brackets are right above the comma and the period key. They're used exclusively in HTML, and so you're going to need to become very familiar with those keys. You'll be typing them tens of thousands of times throughout the course of your career, okay? And so we're going to open one up. So let me just say this. The opening and closing of angle brackets represents a tag in HTML. Like you saw a little bit ago, you create a tag by giving the tag a name. In this case, that's a paragraph tag. Usually what you do is you create an opening paragraph tag and then a closing paragraph tag. They look identical except for the leading forward slash. So this would dictate a paragraph, and anything in between those, the opening and closing paragraph tags, would be formatted as a paragraph in your document. Now you can create other things, other information inside of this. For example, if I wanted to put a hyperlink inside of it, I could do that, click here, but never would I take this anchor tag and put it outside of the paragraph. That would be improperly formed because the paragraph tag started before the anchor tag, therefore the anchor tag must finish before the closing paragraph tag. All right, so this would be bad. This would be good, all right? And we'll talk about what all these mean a little bit later. All right, so back up to the top. We're gonna open up an angle bracket, use the exclamation mark, and type in doctype space lowercase HTML. That tells the world that you are creating an HTML5 document, all right? We'll talk about what doctypes are in lesson number 4, so let's not worry about them right now. I think it's also important to notice that even though we talked about opening and closing, some HTML tags do not need a closing tag. So you don't need that in some cases. Now, which cases? That's where there's a little bit of a learning curve, admittedly. There's also a instance where you might see in older versions of people's work in HTML, something like this, where there is a forward slash at the very end of the tag. This is not something that's necessary in HTML version 5, but you might see it in previous versions of HTML. That's just roughly the equivalent of doing this. It's just a shortened version of it by creating a self-enclosing tag, and it only works in certain circumstances, and it's only necessary in other versions of HTML. All right. So by and large, just follow and do exactly what I do, and we'll learn the rest later. Okay? All right, so let's move on. Every HTML document is defined by an opening HTML and a closing HTML tag, like so. So I went to the very bottom and typed the closing. So that defines the boundaries of the HTML page that we're creating. Go go back to the top. Every HTML page is composed of two parts. There's a head and a body. The head section has extra information that's needed to render your web page properly, but it's never seen as you display it into a web browser, all right? And we'll talk about this more in a little bit. So let's begin with a head and a slash head. Just get that ready. And below it, I'm gonna type in body, and then, body, an opening body tag, and then near the very end of the web page where I type the HTML tag, right above that, inside of it, I'm gonna type in the slash body tag. All right, so now we have the makings of a real HTML page. One other thing I wanna do, I don't have to do this, many people do not, but I'm choosing to do it. I'm gonna add an attribute. Now, attributes are extra information that help define properties and attributes of a given tag. We'll see this a lot in the remainder of the series. So the first thing you type in is the attribute or property's name. In this case, I'm going to define the language for this document. I'm going to use the equal sign. So I'm going to set this property, this attribute, equal to open quote, close quote. And that says this is going to be the value. And inside of that, I'm going to type in the letters EN for English. Okay? So attributes or properties can be set in HTML tags by leaving a space in between the tag name and the attribute or property itself. We use the attribute or property name, an equal sign, indicating that we want to set that property equal to, and then the value. Now in HTML5, you might see some people leave off the double quotes. That's fine. I've chosen to include them, and there's a technical reason why I'll discuss much, much later. All right, just I'm getting into the habit of doing that. If I have a second or third attribute, I can just continue to append them inside of the closing angle bracket. Here is another value. And another, and I'm just making these up, okay? But you can see the pattern here is to continue to include spaces and then another property, attribute name, equal to another value, okay? Let's delete all that junk. And there we go, looks great. Inside of the head, I want to define the char set. And we'll talk about what the char set is in lesson number 4 very briefly, but for right now, just follow along and do what I do. I'm creating a meta tag. I'm setting char set equal to open quote, close quote. Inside of there, and inside of the quotes, I'm going to type in UTF-8 and then a close angle bracket. We'll talk about that later. And here I'm going to create a title for my document. And the title will be displayed in either the title bar in Windows, like you see here, Lesson 02 Notepad, or in the case of Internet Explorer, in the tab name above the page you're currently viewing. All right, so that's the purpose of the title. And I'm just going to grab this text right here, and I'm going to paste it. So I hit Control-C, Control-V. And now I'm going to move on to the body section. And I'm going to define some sections within the body. I'm going to create a part that is called the header information. I'm going to create a section of my document that'll be like the main section where all the articles reside. So we'll start the section, and at the very, very bottom, prior to the copyright notice, I'm going to end the section. While I'm down here, I'm going to create a footer section, or a footer, to define this area down here as the bottommost additional information about, in this case, a web page. We'll talk about head, section, footer in like lesson 6, I believe. So just table that thought for now. I'm going to go back up to the top. Now that I've created the sections, I know that there are two major portions of this section. There are two articles, all right? So I'm going to open up an article, and then I'm going to look for that line that I drew in this document to delineate the two articles. There we go. So here I'm going to end this article, and I'm going to begin a new article. and I'm going to delete this big line. Don't need that anymore. And I'm going to go to the very end of the document, and right here before the end of the section, I'm going to type in slash article so I can completely enclose it. Great. I'm going to save all my work. And now let's just open her up in Internet Explorer and see what we have. And you're going to say to yourself, boy, this doesn't look any different than before. That's correct. At this point, we're not styling any of these tags. We're merely giving meaning to the document, to the sections of the document. And I'll explain why we want to do that and why that's so important in HTML5 in the next lesson, or in lesson number 4, actually. Okay? All right. So, but we can see in our tab, we can see the head, the title that we typed in. So we have that going for us, right? Let's close that down. Let's go back to the very top and work on our header. And the header is where we're going to create ostensibly a logo and maybe some navigation. So here I'm going to use an H1, which is basically saying a very important piece of information, and then an H2, a slightly less important piece of information. We'll define what it exactly means later. And then I'm going to wrap these in a header group. So I'm going to say these belong together and should be treated a little bit differently than they would normally be treated in the body of my document or in the article section of the document. We'll talk about this later. Also inside of the header, I want to create, in fact, I'm going to do some indentation here. Let me push some of these tags two spaces in, so I get this nice hierarchy, and it's visually for me, not because it's going to improve the document in any way, but it helps me to see the overall structure of the document in this way. All right, and so I'm going to also add a navigation area in this header section. And to create that navigation section, I'm going to use a list of items. This list of items will be unordered. Therefore, I'm creating an unordered, a U list, unordered list. And it's going to consist of 3 items, list items. So I'm just going to go ahead and create a list item, and then I'm going to copy, paste, go to the next line and paste. Also, so let's go ahead and just create home, about, and then contact. And so if this was the beginning of a larger website, we might have navigation to several different pages of our website. You've seen this hundreds of times through the websites that you've visited, I'm sure. Okay, and additionally, at this point, let's just look at how this is rendered in the web browser briefly. As a series of bullet points, we'll change how it's rendered later, but none of those were hyperlinks. And so we want to add an anchor tag, and we're going to point to a specific place where that link will be referencing, so that when the user clicks it, they'll go to the location inside of that href attribute that I've left blank for now. And since I don't want to spend much time on this, I'm not going to give it an actual location. I could do something like bing.com here, but I don't really want to do that at the moment. And I don't have any other web pages, so I'm just going to create these placeholders. I'm simply putting a pound symbol as a placeholder in each of the hrefs for now. Maybe someday we'll come back and link those up correctly to other web pages on our website, other websites, or what have you. All right, now I've highlighted this entire navigation section. I'm going to copy it because I want to put it in the footer as well. So I want it, like most web pages do, to have navigation at the very top and at the very bottom of my web page. Added some spacing here and there, and now I'm going to go right back up to the top. So I have my header in great shape. Now let's move on to our main section, which contains 2 articles. Let's start with the first article. Here we have a title, and then a section of the document or a part of the document. So the title of the article, I'm going to give that a headline or a header of H1. That'll make it the most prominent part of this article. And then, since the first paragraph or two is an introduction, I'm going to give this introduction word a header 2, which makes it a little less important as we think of a hierarchy or an outline of our document. And I'll do the same thing with this brief technical overview of the World Wide Web. I'm going to give that an H2 and a closing H2 tag. All right. While I'm here, you'll notice that I don't have paragraph tags defining this paragraph beginning with the words, in this article I'll describe blah blah blah. So let's go ahead and add a paragraph tag before and a closing paragraph tag after that paragraph. The paragraph that begins, the World Wide Web started out as a means for sharing and so forth. I'm going to add a paragraph tag beginning and then an ending paragraph tag. And then from that point on, you can see I've already taken the liberty of adding paragraph tags through the remainder of this document. So that'll be the last time that you'll need to define those. Great. All right, let's scroll down to the next interesting part, which is you'll see something that starts with http://message.gif. And here what I want to do is include an image inside of a figure. And a figure, if you think about books that you've read, it's something that's important to the discussion, but it's included outside of the paragraph for reference sake. It could be even included on another page and we're merely referencing it here. So I want to display this image, and you'll notice it's this image HTTP message here that I've added to my work folder when we first got started. And so what I'm going to start off by doing is defining a figure, and I'm going to enclose this whole thing in a closing figure. And then what I want to do is start creating the image. So I'm going to go two spaces in, open angle bracket, img space, and then I'm going to use this file name as the source property, src equals. That means, where am I going to find this file? I'm going to set it equal to the file name on my in the same folder where you find the lesson 02 html file. And then what I want to do is add an alternate message, and this will show up for those people who can't see the image for some reason. Perhaps their browser won't load it, perhaps they're vision impaired and their screen reader will read aloud this alternate message instead of displaying a useless image in their case. Okay, so then notice at the very end of that alt that I set, I close the image tag, and I don't need a slash image in this case, and I don't need a self-enclosing image. Now you might see this in older versions of HTML, but you don't need it in HTML5. Furthermore, I'm going to add a fig caption around the text, and so this will associate this caption below this image that'll be displayed. So let's see what the result of this is in our web browser. Scroll down a little bit, and you can see that here we have the image displayed. Furthermore, we have this figure caption displayed underneath our image. Awesome. Okay, and continuing down, we'll get another opportunity. So I'm not going to spend as much time. I'm just going to define an open and a closing figure. I'll define an image, and I'll set the source equal to this other www.diagram.gif, alt equal, and then I'm going to just use this text, a diagram of route or route from the user's request to the web server back again, and then I'll close the image, go to the next line, two spaces, fig caption, and then I'll close the fig caption like so. Okay. Now let's save that, and let's see how that looks in our web browser. All right, there's our first image, and there's our second image. And note it's just a neat little image that shows the progression from the client to the server and back to the client again, and it explains what each of these little callouts are for. All right, let's continue on. All right, what are domain names? I'm going to wrap that in yet another level down in our imaginary outline that we're creating for this document by giving it an H3 heading. So the H3 heading will be used to make it even less prominent than the others. Okay, here we have another opportunity for some formatting. What my intent is to kind of format it the way that it looks here on screen. However, if we were to look at this paragraph as it's defined currently, it's not going to create the proper vertical spacing. In this case, what I want to do, I still want to keep it all as one paragraph because in my way of thinking, it's still all one complete thought that needs to stay together. So I'm thinking semantically, I'm thinking about the meaning of the tags that I'm using, not just how it's going to look on screen. And yet still in this context, I need to have some spacing. So I'm going to add this break. In fact, I'm going to add two of them, these breaks, BR tags, all right? And when I do that, let's refresh the browser and then take a look at this again. It's still one paragraph, but there have been a line break and a line break. Okay, that's exactly how we want this to work. We have another opportunity to do this below. So we can see we have a paragraph beginning and at the very end a paragraph ending. So what I want to do is add a series of BRs pretty much everywhere where there's an empty space at the end of the line. I'm going to add a series of these. And I didn't have to do it. I could like remove all the spaces like so. That would work just fine. White space does not matter in HTML. It will be largely ignored with rare exception. Okay. So let's go ahead and refresh the page and see that we get the formatting that indeed we want for that paragraph. Great. Let's move on here. All right. Again, in my imaginary outline, I want this to have a little less prominence. It's a sub point of something we spoke about earlier. So I'm wrapping it in a beginning and an ending H3, header 3 tag. Keep going down here. And in the recap, I'm going to come back out one level of my imaginary outline and wrap that in a header 2. All right. And then here we have another interesting situation. What I want to do is render, you can see that there's, from a purely technical perspective, you should now understand a few things. First of all, second, hopefully, third, hopefully, fourth, hopefully, fifth, hopefully, and so on. And what I want to do is create an ordered list of these items because they all need to be kind of understood together and in a certain order. So I'm going to create a closing OL tag. And then I'm going to wrap each of these items with a beginning list item and an ending list item tag. Again, beginning list item, ending list item, beginning list item, ending list item, beginning list item, and ending list item. And finally, I'm remind myself not to type so much next time, a beginning and ending list item. All right, and then at the very end of that, a closing ordered list tag. All right, so let's save all that, and now let's see how it's rendered in the browser. All right, and notice the default rendering uses this ordered list, and instead of bullets, it uses a numerical scheme 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, awesome. Now we may come back and change that at some point, but that's the default way that it's rendered in my web browser. And then we have one final note about our review, and I'm just going to wrap that in an H2 and a closing H2. And that should be about it for our first article. So now let's move on to our second article. And here I'm going to add an H1 since it's the title of the article. And here I'm going to add another paragraph tag around there are four major parsing and rendering engines that are popular. And here the order doesn't matter, so I'm just going to use an unordered list to describe these four different parsing engines. And I'm going to wrap each of them in an LI and a closing LI. LI and a closing LI. LI, closing LI. LI, and closing LI. All right, how you doing? You hanging in there? It's a lot of work. Whoops, something looks not quite right. If I look at this web page and see that everything looks about the same, that tells me that I probably forgot or misspelled something on the very end right here. So let me look back at my work. Yes. I don't know what I was thinking. I started with an H1, but I ended with an LI. I can't talk and type at the same time, clearly. Let's save that. And now let's refresh. All right, and this is why I test often when I'm working to make sure that I catch problems as they pop up immediately. So you can see the unordered list rendered out as a series of bullet points. That's perfect. Let's continue on. All right, what do I mean when I use the terms parse and render? Let's just wrap that in an H2. Make sure we type H2. Okay. And then characteristics of an HTML5 web page, another H2 and slash H2. And here's an interesting dilemma that we have. Now, what I'm trying to do is describe the doc type element, much like what we created at the very top of our HTML page. But in this case, I want to render it to screen. Let's look at how it looks by default. Notice it just leaves off the opening and closing angle brackets. Well, actually, retype this. It's not even showing the doc type, okay, at all. So it's just got these blank types. It's ignoring everything. And the reason is because we need to use HTML encodings instead of these reserved characters. So in this case, I need a less than symbol. So I'm going to use the ampersand LT for less than, and then a semicolon. And we'll go to the very end and we'll use a greater than symbol. So the ampersand GT semicolon. All right, so this and this designates that we're going to use an HTML encoding, and then whatever's in the middle will be a special symbol. So there are like dozens of these HTML encodings to get around special symbols. So for example, if I wanted to use an ampersand, it's would be largely ignored, but we could do ampersand AMP and then a semicolon at the end. So you really, in this case, need to find a cheat sheet or a reference book that will show you all of the possible HTML encodings. I don't want to take the time to go through that. That's more of a reference material sort of thing, but you'll at least understand why they exist. Now, when we refresh this web page, and we can see that that tag is represented to the user correctly as an HTML tag. And yet, behind the scenes, we're not using the greater or less than symbol per se, just the HTML escape or encoding version of it. Okay, let's continue on. And we are almost done. So I'm going to go to the very last section here, and I'm going to add an aside, and I'm going to intentionally misspell this as AIS because that'll be a great lead-in for the next video. All right. You won't notice the problem in the web browser per se, but when we go and try to see if there's any errors with our web page and what we've done, we'll find the errors then. Okay. So let's wrap this final conclusion in an H2 and then wrap this final paragraph with opening and a closing paragraph tag. And then here at the very bottom in the footer section, we want, this is like lawyer speak, right? The copyright notice and all of that. So we're going to use a tag called small. Now that doesn't mean that this is actually going to be rendered out small per se. We're giving meaning to this content, saying it's like legalese. We'll talk about this more in lesson number 5 or 6. Can't remember which. Okay. Here is another instance where there's an HTML encoding for the copyright. In some cases, like the copyright, for example, you're encouraged in HTML5 to not use the HTML encoding. Instead, what you need to do is bring up a character map in Windows, and I think every version of Windows has this. And then in my case, I'm using the Courier New font. I'm going to find the copyright notice. It's right here, and I'm going to select it and copy it, and then I'm going to paste it over what I have there, and that should retain its formatting because I saved as UTF-8. Now, let's see and make sure that this web page still looks good, renders well as we scroll through it, and it looks perfect. Okay, so this is where I'm going to stop the video. We're done giving structure and meaning to our document. In the next video, we're going to apply cascading style sheets to make it look a little prettier. Okay, we'll see you in the next video. Thank you. Thank you.